Yeah. perfect thing on the path, a little bit of Hebrews. So if you had your Bible, you can go ahead and put something with Hebrews, chapter 11. And we'll continue down our little path by faith, the fourth of it, and the faith of that nature. But as we talked about last week, as you're getting there, by faith being foundational, fundamental. And this, this scripture, if you will, so to speak, is loaded with different examples throughout scripture of men and women of the Bible and the examples of faith. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times it's called the Hall of Fame, if you will. A little play on the Hall of Fame, if you will, the Hall of Faith. And we went over some last week and how Abel and Noah and all those things, how faith will please God, how without faith it can possibly please God. Faith can bring them in alignment with God. Also, how faith can bring a warning. If you're walking with the Lord, walking in faith, the Holy Spirit will let you know if something's wrong. So, how do we want to switch up?
Can you hear me now, Dave? Dave gave me a signal, so we're switching over. Been having a little bit of audio problems, but faith brings obedience, as we shared with Abraham, the importance of obedience and faith. And we talked a little bit about how, you know, even though Adam was the one that God created, and he saw God face to face, he's not called the friend of God. Abraham is, the one that walked in faith. So as you can see, it's very important. Faith is absolutely necessary, foundational, fundamental. He's retired now, but college football, I'm a big college football fan, and it's coming up. We're not very far from it again. But Nick Saban, old West Virginia boy, coached at Alabama, won multiple national titles and just a juggernaut, if you will. And people would ask him all the time, what's his key, and all these things. And he always believed in fundamentals. He would build a team from the inside out instead of the outside in, meaning he needs his line to be good. Block well, they need to tackle well, all those things, because you can't do that, you can't do nothing in football. And so guess what? When it comes to life in general, when it comes to walking with the Lord, fundamentals still win. Fundamentals still work. So faith is absolutely fundamental and foundational. And without it, we cannot please God. So it doesn't matter, Brother Joe, how much scripture we can quote. The Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you want to get God's attention, if you want to get the Lord's attention, man, we're going on, ain't we? You want to get everybody else's attention, you do that. But if you want to get the Lord's attention, you operate in faith. Jesus used examples many times with his disciples when he was walking on the earth about the grain of mustard seed. You remember the time also that him and some of his closest friends were up on a mountain. And they brought the little boy, who the adversary had him. He was seizuring, if you will, throwing himself into the fire. And his disciples could not help the little boy. And then when Jesus comes back off of it, Jesus cast out the demon. And he told him that faith, O ye of little faith. How many times is the Lord himself looking at his disciples saying, O ye of little faith? So faith is absolutely foundational. It brings his obedience and all those things. And as the last thing we talked about last week, it absolutely brings an inheritance. So in other words, how we walk right now is affecting the children and grandchildren that come after us. Okay, so what we say, the examples we put forth. I remember my dad, for example, this is not exactly to do with faith, but just telling you how important how kids and grandkids pay attention to parents and grandparents, okay? My dad and mom walked with the Lord early on, and then they backslid for a large portion of my life. They ended up giving their life back to the Lord for the last 20 years of their lives, but still there was a long thing there. But my dad never was a person that cussed. Just never did. And I could probably count on one hand, definitely one hand, how many times I heard him say a curse word. And when he did say that curse word, yeah, I was in trouble. but also how much it shocked me. The shock effect for Dad to say that. I'd heard guys say it all the time, had uncles that say it, had talk like sailors, but my dad never did it, see? But when he did that, it would automatically, oh gosh, he was different. You understand, he was different. And so as a child, that was impressionable on me. Don't ever underestimate what you do, actions as a parent or a grandparent that affects your children, okay? What you do or do not do sets the example of what is allowed and what should not be done, okay? So it's just a small thing. And that being said, faith works the same way. If your children never see you walk in faith, it's going to be detrimental to them. If they see you having faith in the middle of the storm, they see the world falling apart, but mom or dad or mama or papa standing firm saying, hold on, Lord gets the last say here. They see that, then guess what? That sets a tone for them for the rest of their lives. And that is so important today. We live in a world and a society today, unfortunately, that the devil is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's attacking families. Do you understand that? Families. People talk about all the time about prayer in school, and that is absolutely when they took prayer in school out, so to speak. Anytime you take God out of something, that allows the devil into something. Amen? And that's our walk with God. If we're not walking where we're supposed to be, the devil gets a chance, he'll slide right in there, Eva. That's the way he does. He's the old slew foot, so to speak, as some of the older saints used to say. But that being said, it's so important to set the example, okay? It's so important to hold on to your family, to read that scripture, because I believe personally, long before it came out of schools, it was the families that the devil attacked. That's my opinion. Because what used to not be allowed was then allowed. Okay, what used to not come into the home, whether it be on the television or whatever, came into the home. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're strong in your home, I promise it's going to affect your children and your grandchildren. So I'm going to ask somebody if they volunteer to read for me. You care, Z? Okay, Z, start at verse 11. And read down to verse, let me find it real quick. Read verse down to verse 22, 11 through 22. Chapter 11, verses 11 through 22.
Thank you, Zay.
Now, did you notice what was said there quite often as she read? By what? By faith. By faith. Every single one of these things came to pass by faith. First thing it says is, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. So, faith. How many people here, without a shadow of a doubt, have ever been in a situation in their life or a time in their life that they felt, ready for this, I'm going to use this word, unfruitful or barren? You felt like, you know what, there's nothing coming out of this. I'm getting nothing out of it. I'm not pouring into anybody. I feel like I'm just dying, if you will. How many people here have felt what it's like to feel like you're spiritually dying? Raise your hand. Been there before? Okay. Amen. So guess what? There's Sarah. Okay? Sarah was barren. She produced nothing. In other words, I want you to imagine how this weighed on her, how hard it was for her. She wanted this with everything in her. We always go to Hannah, and rightfully so. That's a good analogy. Another good story of faith. Hannah. But oftentimes we forget about Sarah. Okay? Sarah was where the promise came from. Does that make sense to you? Sarah was the one that the Lord chose to initiate the whole thing, and she was barren. She was unfruitful. She couldn't give Abraham what the Lord had said was going to happen, and by doing so, she allowed the adversary to get in the way. Did she not? She tried to give a substitute for the inheritance. Can I tell you something right now? Works can often be a substitute for the inheritance. Let me explain. It's impossible to believe God without faith. Without faith, works is dead. Being alone. But here's the thing. Without faith, what is works? Well, I do this at the church, and I go help there, and I do this, and I do that. Well, guess what? You're talking all about I a lot, ain't you? Look, it's good to have works following the faith. But works cannot be first. Faith must come first. She allowed or initiated, pushed Hagar to Abraham. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Abraham couldn't have told her no. So, you know, long story short, I'm not throwing all the blame on Sarah. But still, she absolutely thought, you know what, this ain't going to come to pass, so we need to do something with it ourselves. We need to intervene because God can't do it. There you go. There you go. Unbelief first because she laughs. But yet, she's still in the hall of faith. So does that mean we got to be perfect? No. Grace comes into play. But she allowed or tried to force a substitute to where God didn't need a substitute. So in other words, if God has given you a word, stand on that word. Don't come off that word. The devil will try his best to give you a substitute. I can promise you that. He'll try his best to push a substitute to the way. In other words, don't let your Hagar spoil your Isaac.
Ooh, that was good.
Don't let your Hagar spoil your Isaac, okay? God knew what he was going to do, okay? And he done it, just like he said he was going to do. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Oftentimes we think about eternity as in the future, but he's also eternal in the beginning. He's always been there. In other words, how does he know what's going to happen at the end? Because he's already there. Our minds work in linear time. Today, tomorrow, the next day, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. We don't understand. We're not there until we get there. But God is already there. It's kind of hard. I don't believe we'll fully understand it until we get to heaven, I'll be honest with you. But still, God is eternal. And if God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. That would be like Lisa here going back to 1990. And being able to tell herself something now then. How did she know that? Because she's already lived it. She's already been there. Okay? That's God. He don't have to will it to be. He's already there. He knows what's going to happen. And then when his word says it, it's going to happen. You can bank on it. But it goes on and it says, by faith, barren becomes fruitful. She considered herself dead. She considered herself unusable. But there come a point in time that faith, I believe, the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Yes, she laughed. Yes, she took Hagar to Abraham. But there still had to be something, Z, that said, mm-mm. The grain of a mustard seed is all God needs to work with you. How important is faith? How important is faith in regard to bearing fruit? I'm going to take you to another example of a woman. King David, the Bible said, when he finally got it right and brought the Ark of the Covenant, finally got it right, the whole part of Obed-Edom that Pastor brought up a couple weeks ago, when David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, he didn't do it the right way. They were commanded for the priests to carry it on poles, on staves. Okay? So David threw it on an ox cart, okay, with big wheels and boards. And so when it goes to fall over, Obed-Edom tries to steady it, and he's gone. They immediately stop, or not Obed-Edom, but they put it in Obed-Edom's house, Nahum. But they put it in Obed-Edom's house, and God continues to bless him. And then David realizes, oops, what I done. So he does it the proper way, according to God's word. And as he brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, Michal, his wife, Saul's daughter, there's an important thing there. When you read that scripture, it identifies her as Saul's daughter. She's operating as Saul's daughter at that point. There you go. Thank you. But the Bible says David dances in the street with all his might, goes down to his undergarments. In other words, the king looks undignified. If I had Tara up here, I'd have Tara speak British at this moment because, that's beneath me. So in other words, that's how Michael sort of viewed things. David knew the crown didn't mean nothing without the Spirit. So he was worshiping. And she pulls him to the side and let's just say it, you're embarrassing. You're embarrassing. And you know what happened? She never bore a child after that. She was barren from that day forward. Unfruitful. Why? Because she didn't operate in faith. It was about her. It was about us. It wasn't about God. David realized where the power was. When David done what he'd done with Bathsheba and sinned and done a bad thing, and the child dies even. Okay? David in the Psalms is writing, and when he's repenting, you know what he says, Amber? You know what his biggest fear is? Not, Lord, don't let your enemies come in and take me. Don't destroy Israel. Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. That's what he said. That was a man that had it right. Even though he'd done wrong, he repented. That's what grace is for. You're not going to be perfect. God don't expect that. He wants it, but he don't expect it. But grace is always sufficient. But then it goes on. It says, therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as numerable of the grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeting them from afar off. So let me ask you a question. How many people here know heaven is real? Raise your hand. How do you know it? Have you been there, Joe? Tara, have you seen it? Leanne, have you smelt the fragrances from it? Z, have you heard the beautiful music that probably emanates from that land? Has anybody here seen the shadow? Has anybody maybe got close enough, Jennifer, to see the gates of pearl? No? How do you know it's real? His word? What about it? Word says it? Well, that's fine. I told you, but what if somebody comes along and says, well, it's not real? Oh, there we go. How do we know it's real? Faith. I've got faith to believe the word. Okay? I've got faith to believe that that is something that's coming. They died looking forward to the promise. So in other words, they knew that where they was at right now was not their permanent home. This, well, we've not had internet the last couple days, well, since yesterday or whatever. And, you know, you can't read sometimes on it. So I've been going through pictures of on my phone, deleting pictures, you know, and stuff like that. And I saw some of the pictures at the graveyard, old family graveyard and stuff like that, that I needed to just kind of discard because I already had copies of it and stuff of that nature. And I began to think about that place down there and just any graveyard, if you will, your family graveyard, Highland, Peck's Mill, doesn't matter. And I began to think about how their earthly temples are down there together in that area, the family graveyard. But they're not there. Their earthly temples are. Their bodies are. But they've done used those. They're never going to use those again. Okay? Those that died in the Lord died looking forward to the promise. That when he comes back, they're going to receive a glorified body. So whether they passed away of old age or heart disease or whatever they died of, it doesn't matter. Because of faith in Jesus, one of these days that the last trump of God sounds, Pat, because of faith, they're going to come up out of that ground. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Remember last week? That ain't just a song. That's a reality, Z. You think about that. And that's what they did. They understood. And that's one of the most powerful things about Abraham, I believe. Abraham left everything he knew to go to a place that God said, I'll show you. Now, Josh, let's keep in mind, he's not saying, Abraham, I need you to leave. And oh, here, by the way, here's the brochure of where you're going. Look at, bro, some of you guys might not know what a brochure is. Brochures are these things you used to print out at hotels. And when you went on vacation, you used to go around looking for brochures so you could know. It was before the internet days, okay? But it was something that allowed you to know what that area would be like, what that hotel would be like, whatever it was. You wanted to see the brochure of where you're going, whether I want to stay there or not, Lisa. I don't want to stay there if I've got no air conditioner. It's 100 degrees. So you need to know where you're going before you go. Well, guess what? Abraham didn't know where he was going, but still he went. Packed up his family and went. Okay? But one of the big things about Abraham, I believe, one of the most powerful testimonies of Abraham is simply because he didn't believe where he was at was really his home. And even when he gets to the promised land, he realizes this is not my eternal home either. Can I tell you something right now? Don't be so in love with the world that you think you're going to be here forever. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're not. If you're in a job situation right now that you wish you was in, it's not going to be forever, I promise. I can promise you that. I've been in the same situation where I thought, Lord, this set up here at work, this ain't never going to change. This is awful. It changes. Life happens. It changes. I promise you that. So whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's not going to be your forever. But can I tell you what is forever? Heaven or hell. It is forever. And so we have to realize, as Abraham did, and those that died, Sarah and all of them, that we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm not getting comfortable here. I'm 49 years old. If the Lord allows me to live to be 80, and the Lord tarries his coming, then Leanne, I know from the first 49 years that I lived, that time's going to go by like that. Because I can remember being young with Jeremy Toler. I can remember dating my wife. I can remember watching SpongeBob SquarePants with Jake. And this morning I watched it with Luke and Lucy. I can remember how fast, Pearl, it goes by. And so whether it's the Lord allows me to live to be 80 or if he tarries he's coming, I know, Vicky, it's going to go by quickly. But I know that I don't have to settle for this being my permanent home. The Bible says that they looked for a place. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, a pilgrim in a strange land. In other words, that's what they viewed themselves as. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land which they had gone out, they would not have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God and has prepared for them a city. Who wants to go to heaven? Okay. Oh, some of you don't want to. I didn't see every hand go up. I'm going to be honest with you. Let's try this again. Who wants to go to heaven? Because you don't want the alternative. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that right now. Alternative's not good. Okay, you ain't staying here. I got news for you. This ain't going to stay. Nor should it stay. Amen. Nor should it stay. I believe God has a better plan. Does that make sense? Hey, I love a beautiful sunrise, the sunset. I love the peacefulness when you're on the ocean, hear the waves crashing in. I love those things. God has made this planet beautiful. His creation is gorgeous. Man's messed it up. I love a beautiful sunset. I mean, I love going up in the mountains and just looking out over the view, Pat, and it's gorgeous. I don't like the washer and dryer that got dumped over, though. Man messed it up. You can say what you want to. Man messes it up. Man goms it up. He always does. Pearl, you and Shorty, your garden doing good? Doing pretty good? That's good. But you know what? You still have to fool with weeds, ain't you? Because of the curse. Because of the curse. That's the curse. The thorns and the thistles and stuff of that nature. Before the curse, it wasn't there. So to work a garden would have been, I believe, a whole lot easier. A whole lot more producing. Okay? How do I know that all that's going to bypass? Because Jesus became the curse for us. Thorns and thistles would come from the ground and be a curse for Adam, and Jesus took the thorns and thistles and put it on his head. Amen. What pierced Adam all his life pierced Christ right down to the skull. He became a curse so that we could become the sons and daughters of God. So that we don't have to be happy with where we're at right now. Why? Because I'm going to look for a builder whose city and maker is God. I know that I'm just passing through, Z. I look at my life and I can see that it's just it's a vapor. It's here 1 minute, it's gone the next. But by faith, I believe that just like the saints of old, just like those that have gone on before us that's been in this church, that when the time comes and God calls us home, just like your daddy, Jennifer, when God calls us home, we got a better place to go to. It's sad for those that we leave behind. I know that. I'm here. I've lost parents. I've lost loved ones. But I promise you this, I truly believe this with everything in me. Nobody's going to convince me otherwise, Lisa. That when they take their last breath, the tears might be on this side, but it ain't on the other side. I believe everything in me, Vicky, when your mommy passed over, I believe it was good morning, Jesus. I believe everything in me. You ain't going to tell me that any of them would ever come back. Ain't nobody, and it's not because they don't love us. It's just now they're finally where they wanted to be, where they were created to be. They're in a state that God wants them to be in. Because they've been faithful a few things, he's going to make them ruler over many things. And it goes on, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who he had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered God was able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he had received him back. So what's faith also help you do? Faith will help you endure trials, won't it? You think that would have been easy on Abraham? I don't. I think it would have been very hard on Abraham. I got to believe that Abraham's faith in God was greater than the trial he was going through. Or he wouldn't have continued to do it, guys. He was a parent. He was a parent. Anybody here that's a parent or a grandparent, you understand what I'm talking about. That's your child. Somebody tells you to kill your child. That goes against the very nature that God created you to protect and take care of that child. So Abraham had to know that there was something special for me to go through with this. And I believe he was going to go through with it. He had it up or he was doing it. But this right here reveals that Abraham believed that God, hey look, God said my seed was through him. if I do this, then I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's going to somehow raise me from the dead, Pat, because he ain't got no children yet. Okay? So his faith in God had to be more powerful than the trial that he was going through. Every single person here today goes through trials. Every single individual that's here are going to go through more trials. And can I tell you something else? You're going to go through even more trials. And more trials. I don't mean to sound like a Debbie Downer, but as long as we're in this world, Pat, it's going to happen. People are going to wrong us. Situations are going to happen that we wish didn't happen. You're going to get bad news. You'll get a bad doctor report from time to time, whatever it is. You're going to go through that because this is where we're at. But there's a place in the distance that that's never going to happen again. You understand that? Don't live your life like this is home. Don't do that. I believe we live in a society today, a church world today, that loses sight of that sometimes. This is not your final home. We're only passing through. If heaven were not my home, oh Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, but I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen? Woke up one morning with that song on my heart. Out of the blue, hadn't sung it in years. It was the same day my mom went home to be with Jesus. Woke up with that song on my heart. I know what it was for now. It was to comfort me and let me know she's not at home in this world anymore. It's what awaits each and every person here that has Jesus as their faith is what gets us there. Faith will get you through those trials. How many's been through trials? They're hard, ain't they? There you go. Amen. You ain't been through a trial. It's coming. Yeah. I don't know how to tell you that. But here's the good thing about it. He's sufficient to get you through every one of them. It doesn't matter what they are, if it's health related, if it's family related, if it's work related, whatever the situation is, he will get you through every single trial. David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So in other words, whatever you're going through, I promise you this, if you'll hold on to God, he'll get you through it. What's that old saying? My grandmother used to say it, honey, if you put your little hand in his great big hand, you'll make it through. And I remember that very well. And I do my best to do that. And there's times, sometimes, you know what? All you can do, Amber, is just hold on to his big hand. Just like when you're walking through the grocery store with your granddaughter or your baby, and they're just walking, and they got that little hand, and they got their hand wrapped around your pinky. You remember those days? Sometimes that's all we can do for God, Vicki, is just hold on to it. You're in a bad, difficult season. But you know what? If you're willing to do that, he'll not let go. I promise you that. He will not let go. He don't do that. Would you let go of your grandchild or child and leave him alone in the middle of problems? The danger? Nope, he ain't going to do that. He's a good, good God, Pearl. He's a good, good God. It says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. So with those two things, faith solidifies the next generation. And I want to get to this important thing. Faith will bring you to worship even at the face of death. You think about that. Death is final, what we think. Earthly final. Death is the worst thing that can happen in this world. To lose somebody. Nobody wants to pass away and leave their family. I understand it. We all feel the same way. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to go now. Am I telling the truth? That being said, faith. Faith says this is not it. Death is big. Death's bigger than anybody sitting here this morning. Anybody. You can't beat death. You're not going to beat death. Good news is you don't have to beat death. Somebody already did it. Because you couldn't beat death, Pearl, Jesus said he would. And if you'll have faith in me, you'll beat death. You're not going to beat death because you're good enough. You're not going to beat death because you had enough works. You're not going to beat death because you attend a church every Sunday. You're not going to cheat death because you've memorized the entire Bible and can quote it from front to back and back to front. You're not going to cheat death because you was a good person and provided for your family and you paid your tithes. You helped those that were in need. Those that were sick, you helped them. Those that needed a glass of water, you gave them drink. Those that was hungry, you fed them. You're not going to cheat death because of that. You're going to cheat death because you got faith in Jesus Christ. That's why you're going to defeat death, because you have faith in Jesus Christ. So what's it come down to? Faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Can you imagine Jacob coming to the end of his days, dying? And the Bible says he leans on his staff to worship. Lindsay, I know you and Susan have been around some people, been near death. I know that. And the body gives out on you, your strength. But yet this man of God, through faith, felt important enough, Vicky, to raise to his feet and lean on his staff to worship God. That says something about this man's faith. He wasn't physically able, but spiritually he did it. Sometimes you're not going to be physically able to do something, but spiritually you can do it. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall what? Renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, how to wait. Amen? So in other words, faith will lead you into powerful worship. Now, what are you here this morning for? Worship, there you go. Hear the word preached, all those things. Fellowship, all those things are part of it. But if you're going to have, or if you're going to experience powerful worship, to come into the presence of God, see, that's the thing about it. What is worship? Worship ain't your hands going up. Worship ain't your voice coming out. Worship is your heart praising and magnifying God, and then the hands will go up, the voice will come out, the tears will come down. It happens right here when you're magnifying God, who's bigger and greater than all of us. Michael runs because he feels the power of God on him. You understand that? People lift their hands and praise God. Why? Because something's happening inside. They have now been in the presence of God. They're ushered into the heavenly realm, and they're in worship. And in faith is the only way you're going to do that. If you want to have a powerful worship experience here this morning, then you got to do that too. You got to be willing to push everything to the side. Jacob's physical ailment said, stay here, sit down, it's okay. But he deemed it important enough to put forth a little bit more effort, leaning on his staff. Praise God. God knows what you can do. Are you ready for this? You're one of those people, God bless you. I love you. You're one of those people that just sits around waiting for a blessing. You just keep on sitting. Good luck with that. Stir up the gift that's in you. Stir up the gift that's in you. We was down singing down Claypool one night. Pastor Walker was preaching. You remember Brother Joe? Having a pretty good time. Hadn't broke out yet. I felt the Spirit of the Lord come on me, and I began to speak and testify, if you will, and ask how many people like to eat some good pan of gravy. Well, that's an odd thing to ask. How many people like gravy and biscuits? There you go. If you're going to make a good pan of gravy, what do you got to do? Keep stirring. Keep stirring. If you don't stir, it's going to get lumpy. It's going to get burnt. It's going to get bad. So what's the most important thing for a good thing of gravy? Keep stirring. Keep stirring. Because if you don't stir, what happens? It solidifies. It turns into sludge. And ain't nobody likes it. Ready for this? If you don't stir up the gift in you, you're going to sit there. You're going to solidify. And ain't nobody going to like you either. That's how I feel about it. That person sits there like old Sarah Puss, like her sucking on lemons. waiting on God to move on them. When the Lord touches me, I'll worship him. You just keep on sitting there. Jesus, that's it. He's waiting. Jesus said, if we don't do it, what would happen? The rocks would cry out. Amen? But the only way you're going to ever experience that is not because you're good enough, not because you're smart enough, not because you're faithful enough necessarily as far as you're here every Sunday. It's because through faith you believe Jesus deserves it. What he done on Calvary makes him worth, Tommy, me praising him. If for nothing else, if I'm going through the worst trials and tribulations of my life, but you know what? He still died on the cross for me. He still took what I couldn't take. He still defeated death so that I could defeat death. You understand that? One of these days when we're going to go to heaven, one of these days we're all going to be gathered together, we're going to be worshiping the Lord, we're going to see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You understand that's real. One of these days we're going to gather together with a heavenly choir. Do you understand that's real? One of these days you're going to see saints that's gone on before you. There's going to be reunions. There's going to be shouts. There's going to be praise. But you know what? Jesus is the reason of it all. And it's by faith in him that these things are going to happen. It's through faith in God, through the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ, that these that have died long ago, Abraham and all of them, Samson and all those people that done those things, Sarah and Hannah and all the, guess what? They're going to be there too. Because they had faith in the same one that you and I have faith in today. He changes not. By faith, Moses done these things as he read. By faith, through faith, by faith, through faith, by faith, through faith. Could you imagine rolling up to the Dead Sea without any faith going, nothing happening? He couldn't do that. He knew he couldn't do it. But the one he served did. If you're standing at the Red Sea this morning, you can't split it. But the one you serve sure can. We'll shift a little bit this morning. Anybody here got a prayer request at this time? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Pray for my kids that don't know the Lord. Absolutely. Tara?